Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Andrea, or as most people call me, Anj.
And this is Trendish.
We'll be covering relationships, faith, leadership, health, and everything in between. I'll definitely troll.
And I'll probably cry.
And we're so glad you're here to witness the whole thing.
Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in. We're live. You like that?
Back in action.
Like that I gave you a heads up?
Yeah, because I think you only did it because I was drifting off into the...
the abyss.
Abyss of my imagination.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a year. It just feels like it's been...
We hit our year anniversary on this when we weren't recording.
Yeah.
Did we ever say that? April? I think it's April.
Yeah, I think it is April. And I don't know that we said
so
anything.
Happy 1 year to Trend. Happy 1.5 years.
Yeah, cheers to us. We probably really...
Might as well celebrate the 2 year mark at this point.
We probably were consistent for less than a year. But
we were just about to hit. Remember, we put the 1 year in our calendar. It was like a month away.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, we got to do this, this. That's actually when we stopped recording.
And then things hit the fan. Yeah. It's true.
Things sure did.
Thanks. Well, before we get into the topic, I just wanted to give like a, you know, recap. I feel like it's been quite a while. Like, what's new in your world? I thought we were going to have a special guest today, so I'm very disappointed.
I don't know why you thought that.
You said.
I said, theoretically, if we had to, we could.
Well, who would have been our special guest?
The little baby himself, Enzo.
Yep.
Lorenzo.
Yep.
Lorenzo Anthony. Lovely. I realize that I think in public I call him Enzo a lot, but I've never actually called him that, like, looking at him.
You always call him Lorenzo?
I always call him Lorenzo, which I'm surprised by about myself, because I was pretty adamant, like, oh, I love the name Enzo.
Yeah.
I've said to him a few times, and I just, like, feel cringy, so I don't really call him that.
I think I'm for sure going to call him Zo.
I call him that. I call him that. I've called him Zozo a couple times.
Cute.
And I love it. John does not.
John is picky.
But I called Liam Lily, and that wore off. He does not like my pet names for his sons.
John also likes to be called Jonathan.
Yeah. Apparently I've been calling him by a pet name for 5 years and I just learned about it, so.
That's amazing.
So yes, a little Lorenzo would be, he's 3 weeks now. He's in 3 to 6 month clothing.
Amazing.
Because he's so, actually so long, but.
Yeah, he is long.
Yeah, I think he had like another growth spurt, so.
I'm excited about him because, like, I'm gonna be honest, Liam wants nothing to do with me at this age. So I am, like, so grateful for Lorenzo coming in right at the right time.
He does. You have to play with him. You have to really get on his level.
Well.
Like, Lonnie, my cousin, for those who don't know who that is, but my cousin lives here and she'll play with him, but she really, I mean, she gets into the trenches. Sits on the floor.
I have done that.
You've colored with him.
I have done things like that.
Yeah.
Listen, we all have our
but
place.
These days, you definitely just
I know, I'm
sit
tired.
On the couch.
I'm tired, okay?
Especially with Lorenzo, and you just you take
well,
that.
Well, yeah,
so.
If I could just sit there and hold Lorenzo and like...
You did make him dinner, Liam, the other day.
Yeah.
Remember? Warmed up his chicken.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I did. I'm on like dishes duty. I just go over every couple of days just to make sure it's not like overflowing.
We've been good since my mom's been gone.
Honestly, I'm impressed.
I want people to know it's been 6 days, so don't be too impressed with us. But and we haven't cooked a dinner, basically, because we have a meal train currently.
So just make sure you're on top of the trash, and we're good.
Yeah, so currently we're still making it. But yeah, that is our world right now, and just another added bonus reason to why we probably haven't recorded recently, or in the last... He is 3 weeks old, so I only had 3 weeks ago, but we both know that maybe 3 weeks leading up to it was just catastrophic.
It was
in
a
my
lot.
World.
Yeah.
So we were not recording then, and that leads us to 6 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
Here we
a
are.
A whole baby later.
A whole baby later, yep. Anything else new? Like, what do your days look like?
That? What I just named?
Yeah.
I was texting
I feel like
John.
You're going on coffee dates all the time. You're just living your best life.
That depends, week to week. This week, I was home. And I scheduled 4 coffee dates for next week, so that's how that went. Mm-hmm. I will, if you have ever wanted to just be like, oh, like, I would love to just get coffee with Anj, but I'm so busy, or she's so busy, by the way, I'm not, now is the time. Reach out, and
You are going to regret you ever said that.
No, I won't.
Yeah, you are.
I really won't. I mean, worst comes to worst, I'll have you come over to the house and you have coffee there. Now's the time.
Yeah.
Folks,
bring your own espresso pod and
Bring your pods and yeah. We switched over to like regular coffee because Nespresso wasn't even cutting it for the newborn life. We still have tons of pods though, like so many.
Yeah.
So come have coffee. Day to day, it just looks like me and Lorenzo living our life on our little routine. I'm a big routine mom. Some aren't, some are, but
which is so fascinating. Isn't it? You are not routine.
I know.
In anything else.
I know. But with the babies, I'm like such a stickler. I'm like, it is time for your tummy time and you will do it, even if you're crying.
Which
John will be like, he needs to burp. I'm like, he needs 2 more minutes. He has 2 minutes left.
Oh my gosh.
I think it actually might be, I was reading about this, but I think it's actually a little bit of the 8 in parenting, like an Enneagram, back to Enneagram, love that here. But they say like 8 parents just have, I mean, there's so many cons to it, but also the pros are like, they will like discipline. I don't want to say we have no empathy or no like compassion for it, but like we know what's best in the long run. Mm-hmm. So like disciplining them or like learn, so you have to do tummy time. I don't even feel bad because I'm like, this is good for him 2 months from now when he has to be in daycare or be on this routine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like a different way we think about things, but it really works. But I think that, yeah, anyway, that's what makes me routine.
Well, it's just hilarious because Liam now is literally the most routine person I've ever met.
I think he's got a little bit of that in his personality, though. His dad is the most routine person.
Particular.
Couldn't even call him routine at this point. He's particular.
He literally came out of his bed the other night because his sticker fell off off the bed.
Twice.
He fell onto the ground.
Twice.
Okay, cool. Pick it up, Liam.
He's the kid that, like, if you put his left sock on in one part of the room yesterday, that's exactly where he needs to be sitting and the exact sock that you need to start putting on the next day. I've texted you before and wondered if he was OCD.
Yeah, you did. And I was like, no, surely not. And then I went over the next day and I was like, he might be. He likes his routine.
He likes control. So,
well, I don't know where he gets that. But
yes, the one and only. Yeah, the stay-at-home life isn't for me, but I can do it for another few months.
You know,
if you are a stay-at-home mom, there is no one in the world that I value more than you. I don't know how people do it.
I would like a little season of that.
Okay, well, come take him.
I took a couple of days off, and I was like, huh, this is kind of nice being home on a Tuesday at 2.
All the moms right now are dying at you, because they're like, yeah, that's what we do. We just are home at 2.
No, I know that's not your
Go
life.
Go for a walk.
But I just, it's so funny. I'm always at, like, if I have a day off, like, during a weekday, and I'm at the store, I'm literally looking around at, like, what do these people do? They're just, like, out getting groceries at 2 on a Tuesday?
Yes, that is the outside world.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
I do know what you mean.
I feel like, fascinated. I'm like, what do you do? What's your life?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a very flexible job even before being a stay-at-home mom. And there's still, even when I'm, like, out like that, I know what you mean. It still feels like, huh, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So it makes me want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the mom aspect of that is, again, really good for the season. So sweet. Cherishing it. Love it so much. All the things that you do. But it's not my permanent.
It's not
my permanent life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
so great. So your days, they look like being excited to go to Target at 2 p.m. currently.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I love to grocery shop. So I think I'm going to do that today.
You work?
Still working. Coming out of a pretty busy season, so Monday.
Are you actually coming out?
I am trying.
Hmm.
I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job of transitioning out of that mentality, because I think it's really important.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
You feel like I am? Because your face isn't saying so.
No, I was saying that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What are you not saying? Right now.
No, honestly, I really don't know. I feel like anytime anyone I've seen the last 3 weeks, I've just been in a daze for, like, you're there, but you're mm-hmm. not there. So I'm going to be perfectly honest, I don't feel like I've noticed enough to really know.
Well, you've commented multiple times, you're like, wow, you're leaving right now? Wow, it's 5, you're leaving?
I think that was maybe one time.
No, it wasn't.
It was literally one time you left at 5 o'clock.
I don't know why we have this podcast. Like, why do I want to be roasted?
She said, I just feel like I'm so, like, if my compliments are so high that you feel like one thing I said was said 10 times, I'm so happy for that. Like, that's,
I sent you a text message. I'm doing something right. The day yesterday.
And you replied to, if you know Jamie, and some of you on here know her and some of you don't, but you will literally not get a text reply. Jamie, house is on fire. Sorry, Ange, didn't see that 5 hours ago. Like, if it is from 8 to 5, you will not get her, even sometimes 8 to 7, you will not get a text message reply from her. Her boss probably loves that about her. Shout out to them.
No, because sometimes she'll text me in the middle of the day, and I'm like, what are you doing?
I've literally gotten on ORU's system, messaging system before, and messaged you, because I knew you would see it over checking your phone.
If you need a reply, send me an email.
Or an email. Okay, so this is the life she lives. But then on a Friday, on an event day, I send her something on Instagram, which is not lost on me. I send her probably 9 things a day.
I literally have to set aside time to review the things you send me. Sometimes I'm just too tired.
So I, you know, send it. Automatic reply. I said, it is 11 a.m. on an event day of yours.
I can give
you. And you're replying to me on Instagram, but haven't responded to a text message on a Tuesday.
I can give you the reasoning behind that.
It doesn't.
It's an event day, and so right. I want to follow the event that my team is posting.
But it's the same for texting. Like, yeah, I know you have to see, you'll be on your phone to do something, still manage to just look past the text. You didn't look past my DM.
You know what?
I can't explain it. I know. I'm aware. So these are the conversations we have.
Yeah.
Baby bottles and when Jamie's going to reply to me. So
whatever. I'm going on vacation in a week and I am freaking pumped.
Yeah, well, tell the people that.
I did just now.
No. More detail. My gosh. Sorry, guys. That's all you get. Let me disclose my child's color of poop, but Jamie will just tell you she's on vacation.
All I want to do is sit on a beach in a sweater. That's it. I'm going to stare at the water.
The sweater feels a little contradictory, but...
No, I'm going to be in Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's cold. It's actually fall up there, contrary to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, we're in our first phase of fall. We have another summer, another spring, and then and then we'll hit a real fall in, October.
I'm wearing a burnt orange flannel right now, and I'm hot, so...
Yeah.
But I don't care.
You are. It does look hot. I'm going to take a picture so I can post it. I'll put an emoji on your face if you don't want it in there. Check out the cover of our new episode. It'll be...
I was silent there because I was smiling. That's pretty much all that's new. I feel like I've been cooking a lot. I love to watch cooking. Anj, you're getting sidetracked by reading a text message.
No, I'm taking pictures of you.
Still?
Yeah, I was going to try and get a video.
Oh, I can't. Well, I don't have anything else to say. I'm nervous. I don't like to be on camera. So...
That will for sure be exactly what I post for our release date, so check it out. If you've gotten this far,
yeah,
you now know what this little cover picture is about.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's...
Jump into our topic.
Yeah, we just wanted to give a little bit of a, you know, just a catch-up.
Little, just hang out little with coffee us for date, a second, if you will. If you're sipping some coffee, we aren't, but consider this a coffee date.
I could use it, honestly. Let's talk about... confrontation.
Okay.
I forgot the word.
Yeah, I was like, I actually thought you were about to change the topic, like, right now, and I was like, no. Yeah, okay, we'll go for it.
Let's talk about confrontation.
Confrontation, conflict.
Yep.
What is there a difference? Confrontation, conflict, same thing, right?
I think confrontation is more of, like, a moment. Conflict, to me, feels like it's, like, I'm in conflict right now with this person, or I'm in conflict about this thing.
Yeah, I guess I don't say I'm in confrontation with this person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, just that's where my brain randomly went. But yes, let's talk about it. So many things.
So many things.
It could be so many different relationships.
Yep. Work conflict, roommate conflict.
Friendship, marriage, yep. Professional. Mm-hmm. Person at the gas station. I don't know.
Yeah.
And social media, wow, that's a huge one right now. How are we going to miss that?
Yeah.
Are you a confrontational person?
Do you think I am?
No. I actually think you've gotten better with age.
I have.
But you'll still take, like, you'll think about it, I think, for 3 months.
I'm stubborn.
But you do circle back to end up to saying it eventually.
And when I do, it's like, it's like not even hard.
Yeah. Well, you've had a 3-month lead up, so.
Well, yeah. It's like I have to like wrestle through it in my heart and mind first.
Yeah.
And then once I get there, I can say it and I'm fine.
I think you want to know exactly how it made you feel, like in every way, shape, or form. Which is good. Then you articulate it very clearly.
I do need to be able to articulate. Yes. I need you to understand it. Because if I don't feel understood, I'm going to leave that conversation
very upset. Yeah, shouldn't even bother.
Yeah, like, this is the worst feeling in the world, is being misunderstood. And so if I'm going to sit there and explain to you how you hurt me, or how I felt hurt, and then you turn around and you're like, I don't think that's true, or I don't understand what you're saying, I'm leaving the room, and I'm not trying again.
I've learned to go ahead and not let people, not tell people that I didn't make them feel a certain way. Even if in my head I'm like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
I couldn't have made you feel. I'm like, hey, well, they said they felt hurt. So even if I don't think I hurt them, they felt like that. So just suck it up, you mm-hmm. know. It took me a long time to learn that. Maybe that's still not the best thing to do, but I've just learned it really never works. Maybe I'm thinking of marriage, but mm-hmm. it doesn't help if yeah. you just like, oh, well, I don't really think that happened.
Mm-hmm. Are you good at confrontation?
Define good at.
Can you do it easily?
Yeah, I think so.
With more people than just your husband?
No, I'm actually the worst with confrontation with my husband. Probably the worst relationship in confrontation overall. Professional? Easy. I mean, it's like another conversation for me.
What about relationships?
Like?
Friendships.
Oh, friendships?
Yeah.
They're probably a little mixed. Mm. I feel like I'm still probably the worst with John. I don't know, actually. Friends and marriage might both be a little closer together. Uh-huh. It depends on the friend, though. You know? Depends on how close you are.
Yeah.
Like you said before, are they a roommate? Are they, like, someone I've known my whole life? Yeah. Are they someone I've known since college? I don't know. My friends are all very compartmentalized, different people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I do think confrontation or conflict that requires me to be more vulnerable is the one I'm worst at.
So
or the one I will... Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's why the marriage one is way worse.
Yeah.
Professionally, I'm like, I know exactly how I feel about that. I know what I should be doing. I know what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. It's logical.
Yes.
This is just what we need to do. Yep. It's... All of these decisions are unemotional.
Is there room for emotion
I am not
in that
tied for them.
Space.
If the other person wants to be emotional, that's totally fine. That's not vulnerable to me. Vulnerable to me is only if I'm going to be emotional.
Uh-huh.
Surprisingly, I can handle people's emotions, I think, better than people would assume I could. I'm just like, because I don't take them on.
No.
A lot of people, yeah. like, you know, the high empathy, or I think where we drift towards them being really good with people's emotions, and they are, but they're, like, holding on to them for another 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more similar to you. I'm just like, well, that was a great talk. I'm, you know, I'll listen, but I really don't feel like I go home and, like, really hold on to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think I do? Your face looks confused.
No, I was thinking about my own self in that, and if I bring it home with me.
I don't feel like you're so far. I mean, some people that I work with or have been friends with will literally hold. I mean, they're, like, so in it with that person.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're that far on the spectrum, but I think you're closer to that.
Yeah.
Do you think you're not?
No, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I can tell.
Any examples you want to share? Do you feel like you've ever confronted me?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that as we started talking. I was like, what conflict have we had? Our conflict is like marriage, not the vulnerable intimacy mm-hmm. stuff that I was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But like marriage in the sense of like when John and I bicker. Like we'll like bicker about something and then be quiet for like 2 minutes and be like, okay, so really, what do you want to eat?
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's been our conflict recently.
Yeah.
When we were younger. Our younger selves, mm-hmm. we had some conflict. We had a conflict when John and I started dating. Remember that?
Yep.
That'd be a good one for the people.
We've talked about it.
We have. Mm-hmm. Man, that one's funny to me. Well, for those who haven't heard the episode, I don't even know what episode it's on.
I don't either.
Basically, John and I started dating and Jamie and I stopped talking.
Okay, it's for not brief. That dramatic.
It was
still
a brief
talked,
time.
But again.
But talking to Jamie when she feels a type of way is like, yeah.
That's so good. True. I am like that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll let you know. Literally, that's it.
I don't have any words to say.
Okay, if you know, you know.
Oh, I know it. It's so true.
People are like, yep, okay, neither. I mean, I do the same thing if I'm mad.
Yeah.
My favorite emotion.
Yes.
And then I just, you know, move on. So I get it. But yeah, I feel like maybe that was like our even last big one. That, and we've talked about this a bunch of times, but when I forgot your birthday, that was the other big one.
It's painful. Guys,
and you actually did confront, but I think it was like a month later, and it was a, and you were like text message, hey, I just like need to let you know,
yep,
this hurt me,
yep.
And I was like, wow, it was like a month later. I didn't even know the John one didn't take that long. I don't think.
Well, I just wanted you to, I just like wanted you to bring it up, you know. I think that's
the birthday.
What, yes,
except for it didn't it didn't even matter to me.
I know, but what I'm getting
now
at
it would the, now it would
oh
if I miss your birthday you. Now I would be like, my God, I'm been
a horrible friend.
Yeah.
Horrible.
At the time, I didn't know.
That pains me. But I think that's the that's what I'm getting at. I think that's a big piece that a lot of people feel is like in that conflict and confrontation, people don't say anything because they want the other person to know that they were in the wrong.
My
you know
word.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, I just, yes. I want you to acknowledge it. Like, I don't want to have to bring it up because, number one, that sometimes feels like it's inauthentic and you're only saying sorry because I brought it up.
Right.
Which is prideful, let me say.
Right.
And number two, like, don't you just know? How come you just don't know that, like, you made a mistake or, like, you could have done that differently? You know what I mean?
And they have no idea.
Huh?
And they have no idea.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said, I have no idea. I was about to be like, wow, alrighty, this is not going to be a good combo.
No, they have no idea.
Yes.
That is, like, probably one of the biggest barriers to confrontation at large is just assuming, period. So, assuming they should be the ones to apologize first, assuming that they know.
Yep.
Assuming that, you know, they should be the ones to know you best. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of different
examples. That's where the hurt is for me.
But, yeah, I think that that's a huge one, is assuming. Okay, I think that another barrier in confrontation at large is almost our own self-awareness of what you said earlier, being able to name our own, either whether it's emotional or not, but our own emotion to it or frustration with it or mistake that was made. But sometimes I think I think there's a spectrum and some will wait too long to confront for the reasons you said, like, well, they really should, it should be on them, you know. And then I think on the other spectrum, there's people who jump into conflict too quickly, probably a little more like myself.
Yeah, like the heat, in the heat of the moment
kind of thing. And haven't even thought their own way around it,
myself.
And basically is figuring out how they feel about it as they're doing it. Again, this is probably more in like intimate relationships to me than outside ones, but I do think that there's kind of a middle ground there where, you know, not waiting months and just assuming that that person should know, but also not being so fast that we can't even articulate everything we feel without it just being one big blame game, you know? And I don't know, sometimes in some conversation, it really was, might have been the other person at large, but still being able to take the time to get your own self-awareness around that, I think are two really big key reasons people do or don't come work their way around conflict that well.
Yeah. So what we're saying is neither of us are great.
No, we're pretty, I mean, shocker. I feel like every episode we talk about, you're like on one side of the fence and I'm on the other. Except for the Justin Bieber episode, we're both like, ah.
Yeah. Should have got somebody else up in here.
Yeah, but no, at large, I think there's a good scale there. Good range. You have gotten better, though. I would like to say I've gotten better. I don't know. I'll have to ask John.
Yeah, you'll have to ask John, because I don't feel like you ever...
I do feel like professionally I've gotten a lot better. I think I probably used to... Brene Brown's, you know, this is one of my favorite quotes from her, but not really a quote, but she always says that she's... The feedback she's gotten in her life is being scary when she's scared. I feel like if people were honest in my life, that would could probably be said of me, especially people who I might have worked with being younger. Not to say I don't still do that now, but... Especially when I was over something that I actually owned, which isn't so much my world now, but when it was, and then you actually, that actually can be scary, and you actually can get scary when you're scared. That statement alone gave me so much language that I was like, wow, yeah, I'm totally doing that. And I think I would use confrontation almost as like a safety net, because I really could be good at it, but also manipulative with it, very manipulative with it. And which can make me scary when you're scared. So I like to think I've gotten a little better at that, but I think I might have to own something to really determine that.
Where do you think, like, the growth actually came from in that? Like, was there, like, an instance that, like, helped propel you into more of a healthy space? Do you think it was, like, taking a step out of that role to, like, gain greater perspective? Or do you think it was just age?
Well, yeah, all of it. Mm-hmm. Select all. No, really, I think it might have been two things. One, listening to other people's stories really helps give me a reflection and some greater perception to my own. Mm-hmm. So, especially people who I relate to. So as much as I talk about her, especially professionally, listening to someone like Brené Brown, that in and of itself, literally hearing that statement, I automatically knew that is the kind of leader I am. Like, I'm at least aware enough to know that. Didn't have the language to put into it, like, why I just start getting way more direct, asking way more questions in a very harsh way, you know, like, mm-hmm. as if you should know the answer, even though I really know you don't, you know, kind of thing.
Yikes.
And so I do that a lot, or, well, I still do, but more, I did that more a lot then. So listening to people's stories was, I think, one thing that really helps my own just self-evaluation. So even as much as we, like, laugh about it, some people don't like it, but one thing that helped me realize I'm doing that is in the Enneagram, when you're in stress for eights, you go to a five, mm-hmm. which is what I just said. You question, you do get harsh, you need all the facts and all the, I mean, I think you get even way lack of emotion as I carry normally. It goes way even less when I kind of switch into that stressful mode. And so my own self-evaluation just over time, not like one instance, but over time really made me realize, like, oh, I probably definitely did that in this conversation. Lastly, I think the thing that really made me realize that the most, or kind of helped facilitate growth the most, is being in the conversations. Like, having to actually have space. I've always tried. I haven't done it always well, but I've always tried, especially when it was always me leading over people, but to ask their feedback of me. And sometimes people would give it, and sometimes they wouldn't. I think even when you're doing that for somebody who supervises you, people are really hesitant to be mm-hmm. as truthful as they want to mm-hmm. some ways or the other. But the most growth for me is when they were truthful. I mean, I think you know it's about me, but I think anyone else would too if they worked with me. But I value feedback, like, tremendously. That's actually the one, especially if I'm asking for feedback, that's like the one time in my life I'm not really that defensive. Mm-hmm. And it helps me a lot. And so there were just a few conversations where they never used verbiage like "you're scary when you're scared," but I could hear, like, "well, I'm trying to do these things right and it never feels good enough for you," or "I'm trying to literally do what you asked and then it didn't happen the way you wanted," or they might have not used words like that, but I could hear in that, like, okay, I am definitely 50% of the problem.
Yeah.
Even though I started this trying to correct you, I can very much see where I'm not giving you enough direction, not giving you enough encouragement, not thanking you enough. I can see what arrived to you making your mistake based mm-hmm. off of mine that also helped contribute to that, you know, big thing that both of us dropped. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I fully answered your question, but it's a little bit of all three of those things for me. Do you have any?
I mean, I don't have specific instances that, like, come to mind. I don't know why I'm thinking in a work setting specifically.
I was just about to say, but the same way where it's, do you have an easier time in work, in a work setting, conflict-wise, or
I think
relationships?
No, I think it would probably be easier in a work setting because it's more practical.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be emotional. But I also am not scared if it does get emotional. I'm usually emotional in those conversations.
I was gonna say, but it's emotional for you.
But, like, not in the sense that I'm, like, crying, but I'm just, I feel a lot. And what sucks about it is that I show it. Like, my neck breaks out very strongly when I'm, like, feeling pressure or, like, in the middle of conflict. So,
and, like, you talk like it, too. Like, your voice. There is definitely a switch.
A quiver.
Quiver is probably the best. I will never get over that word, but that's exactly what it is.
Like, I also really like feedback. I think there's definitely a point where it's like, man, I've gotten a lot of that this week. I feel like I'm at my point of, I don't want any more this week.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like that's normal.
But, yeah, I think I've said this before, but, like, especially with, like, my the leaders above me, I feel like I've been given grace when I didn't feel like I deserved it, which is literally what grace is. And so that's just something I've tried to model in my own leadership. And I just don't know that I could have if I hadn't seen that. It's not always like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There are definitely strong confrontational conversations I've had and been a part of that have been so hard, but like I've seen growth within myself as a result of them.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship ones, I am a lot more reserved. So I think
yeah,
it takes me a lot longer to say something.
Uh-huh.
I think they hurt more.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're more vulnerable.
In my opinion,
they're no matter what, they're more vulnerable.
I think I value them more.
Or more risky, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I love work and I love what I do, but I think my people are my people. And so if I get hurt in a relationship setting outside of work, like, it just feels more personal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Totally.
Like, I guess I do have one instance. I won't get, like, too specific about it, but I felt like I was drifting from this friend recently. And again, like, I'm a 4, so if we're going to talk about the Enneagram, like, 4s don't want to be rejected, mm-hmm. and so they just withdraw, and so I'll just kind of, like, not be around. Not necessarily, like, physically, like, with that person, but just, I'm just not as, like, you know, involved.
Yeah.
And so, this person, like, after a while was like, are we good? Like, I think we're good, but, like, I just wanted to check in, and I, in that moment, could have very easily been like, yeah, no, we're fine. But, like, I was like, no, actually, I don't know that we are. Like, I think we could be better.
Yeah.
So, I didn't start the conversation, but I also didn't beat around the bush.
Yeah, but 3 years ago, you probably would have just said, yeah,
oh, we're fine. I would have. I would have absolutely said, no, we're fine. That's
your biggest growth. I mean, that is growth, I think.
And we had a very adult, normal conversation. It lasted 5 minutes. We both owned our piece of it, and we moved on.
Yeah.
And we're fine.
Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't fine before that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also wasn't something I was, like, thinking about every night before I went to bed. You know, like, I wasn't ruminating on it. I could just tell there was, like, some things that we probably needed to air out.
Yeah.
And so we did, and I think that is why I have loved getting older. Like, you actually can have...
Yeah.
A healthy conflict with another person, and you actually still are the same.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Totally.
Or better.
Yep.
Because we don't always have to go back to who we were.
Yeah.
We can be something different in the future.
Oh, so tweetable. So sweet.
You are someone so annoying.
Someone write it down.
You're annoying. I have nothing else to say.
We'll quote it later. Make sure that's the part that you capture on Instagram. It's very true, yes. Not to undermine just how sweet it was, but yes, it's so true. And I think, I was just about to say, like, I don't know if it's across the board, but it's across our board that relationships are so much harder to confront than the work or the professional or the person across the street. Again, I think we could wrap social media up in there somewhere as well, but even that, especially if we know those people still tie to relationships. So I was going to say, like, what do we do? But I think your story is even hitting on it, too. I think, like, at one point, there's a choice that you just have to start making. I think at some point, people might make it earlier in their lives or start making it later in their lives. But just like you were saying, like, the choice to actually voice what is real and true and what is, whether it's hurtful or painful or not or just frustrating, the choice even in that story that you just told of, like, finally just saying, no, yeah, I don't think we are. Or, my gosh, in marriage, that is my, is it kryptonite?
M.O.
Does that feel right? Or my M.O.?
Either one.
Like, are you okay to say it? Yeah.
Oh, yep. On.
I'm great.
That's so annoying. No, you're not.
Though, I think we've gotten a little bit better. I'm like, I know full and well he's never, I'm not going to know. Like, I mean, I think early on in our days, it'd be like, I'm going to literally look like this face, which I know is very apparent, until you figure out what it is that you did, because I actually can't right now. I've now learned, like, you're going to make the face for a week. So you can either just boil in that or just tell him that it's, you know, annoying that you heated up the wrong bottle or whatever it is.
Because that's what the conflict is about, people. A bottle.
These days, now that's what it's about. Back then, it was also probably something equally as stupid. But, yeah, I think that is step one.
So how do you get there quicker? Like, what actually, yeah, like, causes you to, like, be able to just say it?
You know, putting my pride down. For me.
Is there anything, like, a person can do to help you get there? Or is it literally
in the relationship? Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Because John asks you, or, like, a friend might ask you, like, is everything okay?
Yeah, no. Some people are much better doing that than others.
Okay, got it.
I have learned, I feel like this is all very related to me. I'm not speaking in broad enough terms, I think, for everyone, but the only experience I got, so that's what I'm going to share.
Sure.
But for me, I think I have learned, especially through marriage specifically, that unless I really feel, even if it is something as little as, like, you said you're going to come home at this time and you came home at that time, for some reason it made me mad. Even if it's something that small, I will still not even voice those small needs unless I feel like, well, really feel like you actually want to know them. Mm-hmm. I still haven't pinpointed this myself if it's that. Like, I have to actually know you really do care enough to know. Or whether I trust you enough to know. And I think there's probably both wrapped up in there. So, especially early on in our young days, John and I, we're still young, like, LOL.
But you've been
married
5 years.
Lisa and John Bevere just celebrated 39 years of marriage. That is almost as double my age. Yeah. So, okay, we're young still.
Yeah.
But in comparison, in our really, really, really early days, I feel like it was more of he would ask, like, what's wrong? And I'd be like, nothing. And I'd be like, okay. I'm like, see, you don't care.
Oh.
Like, literally, I'm not even lying, though. That is where my mind
goes. I know. I just.
Like, see, you don't, like, okay, fine, move on. Eat the pizza. Like, I mean, I'm going to sit here for. Did it even affect him? No. Was I hurting myself? Absolutely. And then was I just hurting our relationship more? Because he was like, wow, why is she, like, so mean? Because I would get very mean in those times. But not about what I was actually upset about, just about anything else.
Yeah. So that you would know.
But probably nothing. I mean, it could have literally been, looking back, I'm like, I don't know, how was he know I wasn't, like, angry about work or about, you know, our friends or, I don't know, something. Okay, anyway, Andrea, silly, young Andrea.
Those people.
Still now, I'm saying, like, I don't still do it, like, LOL.
Yeah.
I still do it. But I do think it was much more harsh and close-minded then. And so I think what I needed then especially was just trust, like, trust built up in those ways. I think the friendships that I more quickly would actually be honest with about making that choice to say, like, yeah, this is wrong, or yeah, this hurt, or this was frustrating, are ones who pursued, is the word I'm looking for, probably, pursued that conversation a little more. Mm-hmm. Like, I do have friendships where if I had said, they said, what's wrong? And I said nothing. You'd be like, okay, it's obviously not nothing. And as stupid as it sounds, because I really don't think someone should need to do that.
Yeah.
For somebody as, you know, emotionally not available as I was, I did need that a little earlier on. I don't think I opened up as much to John until he started. And one way or another, I just needed to know he actually cared more about it, you know, or trusted that he actually cared more. And so that in marriage has looked like building that a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. So I won't speak directly to that. But I do think even for yourself, if you're somebody who does shut those conversations down so quickly or does it so quickly, I would evaluate your own, like, I don't want to say trust issues, but, you know, trust or just a lack of confidence in that relationship, I guess, are the two things that really would make me say, no, it's not worth it.
And pride. I think pride is a big one, too.
Pride is, if I didn't already say that, that's number one. The other two are below that.
I think those type of people are so fascinating. Like, people like John.
I'm glad we can fascinate you.
No, not you.
Oh, man.
The people on the other side that, like, when you say, when they ask you a question and you respond and they believe you straight out, who are you?
Like,
how do you just, like.
And you've seen my face.
Yeah.
When I'm mad.
Yeah. Like.
He has too.
People have, like.
We gotta get him on here because now I'm curious. Like, how do you know? Do you just not want to deal with it?
Or, like, they just believe you outright. I would love to be that type of person. I'm not. But, like, if I said to this person, like, I feel fine.
Yeah.
They would believe me.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not fine.
Uh-huh.
Even if I don't feel fine.
Uh-huh. But
even
it, sometimes,
if they know I'm not fine.
I was about to say, but sometimes I wonder if they really do know. Because John, he's gotten a lot better in this, but he's also pretty passive. So, looking back, a lot of ways I'm like, did he actually think I was fine, though? Or did he just not want to deal with it?
Or did he want to give you space because he didn't know?
Yes, because, oh, yeah, I think, well, that's probably it,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, believe me, I don't need any space to know how I feel right now. I actually probably did need a little space, so it wasn't rude. Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give someone who, like, needs to have a confrontational conversation and they don't know where to start, or they don't feel confident enough, or they're scared? Like, they're scared to have the conversation. Like, what advice would you give somebody in taking that first step?
Something I used to do. This was back with my roommate. I've only had one roommate, so I just added her. But what I used to do with her.
Hey, girl.
What I used to do with her.
Miss ya.
Because I was real bad then, especially in our college days. All of our college friends would know that, but I mean really bad. What I would start out with, this sounds so petty, but I honestly, it just worked for us and for me. But I would text them in the middle of the day and say, I have to talk to you about something. Make sure I talk to you about it. Mm. And she...
That sucks.
That, yeah.
Then they have to think about it all yeah. day.
Well, I tried to do it. I tried to do it enough time, like, I'm on my way back, you know, like, I didn't... Yeah. I wasn't trying to be mean, like, make sure you think about all the things you could have done. And I never really even said, like, it's about you. I just was like...
Hey, I need to talk to you about yes. something.
There were times I did that, even when it wasn't about confrontation, and I'm like, I know I've got to, like, work this out with someone. But even, I was, like, so afraid of vulnerability then, I wouldn't even talk about myself at that time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's good or bad advice, but I would start it out that way, even if it was just in person, mm-hmm. and I would say, like, before we leave, I do want to talk about this. You're in it now. So, like, even if you're going to do it scared, first of all, do it scared. That's great. Yeah. But at least there's, like, an accountability to do it. Because let me tell you, by the time I got back, I was ready to avoid it. I was like, oh, I would have never brought it up. Mm-hmm. I would have waited all night.
There have been times when you did.
Yeah. Waited all night and not said anything. And so her, like, accountability to remind me, like, so what did you want to talk about? It's a little hard to get out of it at that point. Like, she wasn't texting you saying, hey, do you want to talk about anything today? Like, I very adamantly brought yes. it up. I obviously have something to share. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of step one, that if you're really that avoidant of a person, especially interpersonally, that kind of helped hold me, keep me straight to do it. But in it, I also, this is just the harder part that you might have better language for this in your master's of counseling, therapeutic life.
Continue.
But there is an element that I would also give advice on for having to figure out yourself what you're actually upset about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And you can't, I don't know that you can advise someone in that way. Like, I don't have a 1-2-3 step of what helps get you there, other than I think it takes a little bit of silence and your own personal reflection. But I just think conflict goes better when I'm like, when, at what point did I get angry, sad, frustrated, hurt, whatever the emotion is?
Yeah.
What was it that got me there? Did it even have to do anything with that person? If it did, what was it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think even like what you said, just our friendships in general right now can look healthier because I think we do that a little more, or like we can do it a little more practically. For me, I do it more practically, I think, just because I went through counseling or yeah. go through counseling, and I needed a lot of those like trigger points to know this is when you got angry, because you won't let yourself feel it, but you know, start learning to feel it. So I hate to say it, 'cause I say it for every episode, but something, working with a counselor on that has helped me a lot. But I do think there's an element to both of those things that are really important to actually get you there. What advice would you give? Because, you know, you're one licensing test away from being a counselor.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What would you give people?
I would say, similarly to what you kind of ended with, like, I would do some pre-work in that.
Pre-work. Look at you. Is that a counseling term?
I don't know. I think
it is.
So.
It
I
feels
don't...
smart.
No. No.
Do the pre-work.
Let me talk. What I mean by that is, like, similar to what you were saying about, like, sit in the silence and figure out, like, where did it begin with? Like, understand where the expectations were missed.
Yeah.
And were they voiced? Like, if you're thinking about the conflict and what actually took place for you to feel X, Y, and Z, like, I guess I would just ask yourself some questions of, like, should they have known about this? Like, was it ever communicated?
Did I ever voice it?
Yes. Well. Like, did I communicate that this was the expectation of, you know, I'm talking very broadly because I don't, like, it's so specific to situations.
Yeah, right.
But, like, I think there always is an expectation, and I think always. That's a lot of times what is missed or Yeah. And so I think for me, I would say a lot of times my conflict has surrounded missed expectations. And the more I look back and, you know, have done my own work, like a lot of times those expectations were never communicated to that person. And so, a lot of the hurt was caused by me in it, and other people had to be on the other side of, you know, feeling the conflict because of that. And so I think that would be my first advice, is to just like do that pre-work and figure out like what was the expectation between these two things. Were both people in agreement there? And then I'd go from there.
Unvoiced expectations always go unmet.
Some of the best advice we've ever gotten.
Yeah, it's a big one. Mm-hmm. It's carried through every single season. Might as well have opened with it. Open and close. Unvoiced expectations always go unmet.
Yes. Yep.
No, I think that's really good. I think that's true. So much conflict comes from missed expectations.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Like, I think conflict is kind of, I mean, it's so painful. Like, it's so awkward. It can be really hard. It can be also like one of the most beautiful parts of life, because you see people show up and you see that people love you and that they care about you and that they're, you know, you're worth their time. You're worth the pain. You're worth the uncomfortable nature of the conversation, the before and after. So like, while it's challenging, like, I think it's an invitation to see the true meaning of like what we were created for, which is relationship.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Jamie preaching the choir. I'm holding back a lot of trolls because I've put a lot in, but it's good stuff, Jamie.
Thanks, Anj.
Way to finish strong.
Any last words of wisdom from you?
I don't have much wisdom these days. I'm a little too delirious to give like tons and tons of
You look great.
You seem great. I got my hair done. I've thankfully it's my second kid, so I've really learned about how to function still off of lack of sleep.
You also have more help this time.
Yeah. Yes, that's also been great. Okay. I'm gonna end with this, folks. These are my three C's that I probably pulled from somewhere, but I've always go to these whenever I give these professionally. So the three C's of confrontation.
Okay, we're ready.
Just laughing at me. They're serious. They're not even funny.
I'm not sure where you're headed.
The three C's: compliment, clarify, correct. Why didn't I start with that?
Yeah, honestly.
Nice and clear,
that
Andrea.
Seems like it would have been a great place for us to start.
Been a great place. But you know what? We decided we're going to do this topic 45 seconds before we started.
Yes, we did.
And I just remembered that I actually have a whole thing that I normally talk about with this. So unfortunately, if you've made it this far, now you get our outline that we didn't go off of. But yeah. Three C's, I actually do live by this, especially professionally, but actually even relationally. I think this would actually work. But compliment, remind yourself and that person that they are actually a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need their reminder before you correct, even more than they do. Yes. So compliment what you love. Clarify what you think you might have missed in direction or what you might have missed in expectation, as Jamie said. And correct what you would like to see next time. Another way to say correct would be re-communicate the expectation. Over-communicate, over-clarify.
And just remember, like, there is another person on the other side of the conversation. Like,
yes.
At the end of the day, this is a human being, and we can correct all day, but, like, we're people.
Yeah.
And we're not robots, and we're
going to
make mistakes.
Need to be a little loved, a little complimented first. Like, a little reminder that actually you're not the full person to blame. Let's clarify. My favorite way to clarify is ask questions. I've learned to stop doing that in a scary way, but just like, hey, what did you feel like the project was?
Can you give us an example of what it used to sound like?
Can you? I don't know, actually. It might have been the same. I think it's just more how I said it.
Yeah.
It was like, so I remember us saying that it needed to look like this. At what point did you feel like it needed to start looking like that?
Yes.
That is probably more.
Yes. Amen. I've been on some of those conversations and my neck gets red right away.
Oh, it's awful. Anyway, clarify to the best of your ability, ask open-ended, nice questions that would just really help them say, yeah, I thought I was doing this so good. Wow, that really changes how I'm going to correct someone, as opposed to if they were like, yeah, man, I already dropped the ball. That also totally changes how I would correct someone. So,
amen.
Man, wish I started there, but we didn't.
We ended there, and it's fine. So for anyone that made it through,
appreciate you. Love you. All the cheer, all the love.
All right.
Take our points. Send them to
others. Favorite part of the conversation now. What's trending in your world?
You go first.
Well, I'll start first by saying what's not trending in my world.
What's that?
The movie Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
No, it's not trending in my world, and it shouldn't be trending in yours either. That movie is stressful and anxiety-inducing. Sure. Is the music good? Yeah, it's not bad. But is that movie worth your time? No, it's not. There was no world in which there was ever going to be a good ending. And, like, if you know me, I don't need there to be a good ending. But, like, this one wasn't good.
Did you finish it, or are you the one who walked out? Like,
no, that wasn't me, but people did walk out.
Yeah. Wow. How? That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It didn't do well.
I didn't see it.
It didn't do well. I wouldn't.
It doesn't sound. Honestly, you're not even somebody who that passionately dislikes anything. You're always like, even the worst movie, you're like.
Yeah.
But the cinematography was, like, so beautiful. And, you know, there's always something like. You were like, no, don't go.
I literally, it ended and I was like, I hated that. So, I don't really know what's trending in my world. I mean, I love Kacey Musgraves' new album. It's excellent. Yeah. Really?
You know, I'm just not a fan. I really try. I can't get into her. People really like her.
She's fun.
Yeah, I can't. I try really hard.
I'm watching the new show Impeachment, which is about the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton. Yeah. Scandal, really interesting. The acting is really, really well done.
Oh, I thought you were about to say it's bad.
No, it's good. The cast is really good. Been listening to a lot of more podcasts than I had been recently, and I would probably mention the one from that you sent me from Brené Brown.
Oh yeah, I kind of low key even referenced that. That's a good one.
Yeah, so it's like super her and her. Combo. Her sister, who is their chief of staff, which is interesting. Her
mind blowing. Sister. Yeah. Did not know. I mean, man, I've followed Brené Brown. I did not know her sister's work for her.
I didn't either. But it was really interesting hearing her talk about, like, what she does and just, like, the people management side of things and always trying to prioritize, like, the many different asks that people, you know, want for Brené. So she's, like, always reprioritizing what needs to get done. And then they had this whole really good conversation about the 5 C's, but I don't know what the 5 C's are at this moment.
Wow, we're so similar with our C's.
Yeah, but totally basically different. The conversation is really about, like, how do you help people climb up and down the ladder of being in the weeds and coming up into, like, more strategic thinking.
The dance floor to the balcony. Like, big picture, moving from big picture thinking to small details.
Yep. And she was just saying, like, she pretty much lives in the details, and Brené lives in the big picture, and how it can be very helpful if you have somebody that can, like, walk people up and down that ladder. And that was very insightful to me as a leader, and somebody who often is in the weeds, but also has to come up into the big picture. I want to do a better job of that for my team, too.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. I think I'm a way better big picture person. And then I'm like, oh yeah, that should probably get done too.
I want to get, I don't really want to live in the weeds, but I just can't afford to not.
I think everyone wants what they don't. I would like to be way more detail oriented.
Yeah, it's true.
I do think I think you both grow in different, like, I think you grow to be better big picture grows to be better detail if they really want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more detail minded than I used to be, especially because I have to be now, but man. Wasn't before.
Yeah. So I would say that episode, it's on Brené's Dare to Lead.
Yeah, Dare to Lead on Spotify. That one's only on Spotify.
So stupid. I hate that.
Bummer. Yeah. But, I mean, I have Spotify, so it's not a huge bummer. But it is only on Spotify, and it's the hardest feedback I've ever received.
Yeah.
And with her sister.
I think she just came out with a part 2.
Oh, she might have, yeah.
Maybe.
I need to just start following it on there so I see it. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. One of her ending quotes on that one was, I use what I'm good at to protect me from what I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard a more self-aware person.
Yeah, I mean, that is...
Gosh, yeah. It really just, it gives me so much language. So, would really encourage you
to listen to that. Yeah, it's a good one.
Working or not, I think it just helps in relationship all across the board.
Yeah.
Okay, I have 2 books and a song.
All right.
Not an album, not an artist, but a song.
That could be the title of a book. Two books and a song. Let's go. What is it?
It's called, the first one is, I'm listening to it only on Audible, so I can't vouch for like reading it, but I honestly kind of wish I was reading it. It's called The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni.
Okay.
I think I've referenced him a few times. And
is this a new one?
This is not new. Not new, actually, at all. It's like years old. I wouldn't even say it's one of his most popular. It's like definitely not the one that gets recommended to you if you talk about Patrick Lencioni. But man, it is. I've read a lot of his stuff. I think it is my favorite by far. It's so a lot of his books are typically written as a story, and then he'll talk about like his main points or whatever in the second half of the book. Mm-hmm. So you always like read this story of this team or these people or whatever it is, and then he kind of talks about those points later on. So you have basically two different ways to get through his points if you're more of a story person, or you're more of like a, I just want to get to the effect. This book is not that. So this book is actually pretty much just his content, but compiled in a lot of different ways. So it's like all of his content, and he references which book he would recommend for which thing you're struggling with in your team or whatever, leading, whatever it is along the way. And it is, I've read a lot of leadership stuff, and you know, I've kind of ranted about this before, but I'm not even the world's biggest, like, I don't feel like I can read anything more about leadership at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can, I just, like, mentally, I just can't. I just
there's, like nothing new.
It's all written the same, you know. But I have actually really been loving this book, Why Organizational Health Trumps Everything Else in Business. And it is not watered down. I think that's what I like about him. He has so much.
Who wrote that?
This is Patrick Lencioni.
Okay.
The Advantage. Sorry, this is still the same book.
Got it.
I'm still ranting about the same thing. The Advantage is the book, Why Organizational Health Triumphs Everything Else in Business.
Hmm.
I think I also am just so passionate about organizational health, and it is really hard to explain to people why it's important unless they actually just already think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
He does such a good job at explaining to people the importance of it through that book. Hmm. So really appreciate that one. The other one, way different track of life, but Holier Than Thou by Jackie Hill Perry. If I haven't already said that, I don't think I've said it on this one.
Did you finish it?
It's, well, no. I'm trying to finish in my newborn days.
Yeah.
You would think I can with how much I'm sitting home. Like, wow, why haven't you finished it? But I think I'm so tired that the words just kind of bleed through my
brain. And that is not a fluffy book. That is, like, hard-hitting.
Yeah. I don't think that book, unless you've read it or listened to what it's about, I don't think it is about what people think it is. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no one, two, three, four, five step with her on like how to be holier. Way not what it's about. It's actually not really about you like at all. Like, I don't even think she says the word us or you in it whatsoever. It is like all about God, which you don't read much about these days.
Nope.
If you're a Tozer fan, she writes this book specifically. I don't know. I haven't read her other one, but this book specifically writes a lot more similar to something like that, as opposed to like a Christian kind of self-help sermon.
I want to read it. I like her.
Yeah, it's interesting.
She's deep.
Yeah, that's what it is. If she tells a story, it's a story from the Bible written in her own words.
Love
but
that.
I still haven't gotten to a point where she's like using an example of her life. It's just, it's so different. It's written very differently, I think. A little more poetically and a little bit more directed just about God and his nature. So can't imagine writing it. I feel like she really had to do a lot of work to get that out, but I do like it. And even if you don't necessarily want to read, she's done quite a few talks at this point now on it that I think also summarizes the book pretty well too. So if you're more of a listener, audio person, those two are both great. And my song.
Yeah.
I'm really into Shiver.
I knew it was going to be Ed Sheeran.
I didn't, remember I texted you, I was like, what is he doing? Like, why?
Yeah.
I didn't really love Bad Habits.
I do. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's more your vibe, but I'm like, I liked it, like, eh. And then, like, by the third lesson, I was like, this is, like, so...
Pop?
Poppy. I don't mind pop, though. Like, he could do better. That's how I felt. Talk about my criticism.
Yeah.
Shiver, though, I just love when he, like, collaborates different music together. I think he does so well at that. So this, you've got, like, the trumpets... Mm-hmm. You've got, you probably don't listen to all the other instruments in it, and I'm going to sound like a huge nerd for about to go and start naming all of them, but I really like all the instruments he uses through it.
Yeah.
It just has so much more of like a up and down.
It's dynamic.
Jamie has the words that I would like to say today, but just I'm using 10 different words to say.
I don't know that I've listened to the whole thing fully.
Oh, it's good. We'll listen to it when this is over. But
okay.
Those are my recs. Those are what's trending outside of, you know, anything related to newborn or Amazon Prime or what helps us better sleep through the night and buying on Amazon Prime. That's what's trending in my world, all those things.
Amen. I've been doing a lot of online shopping because there's nothing in the stores. Nothing. It's literally all trendy.
Nothing.
And I'm not trendy. Like, I know I have a podcast that's called Trendish, but, like, I don't want to wear a crop top, and I don't want to wear a shirt down to my ankles.
I was just about to say you don't want to wear a crop top, right?
No, like, I'm done with that, so.
And I don't want weird graphics. Why are those back?
I literally had to Google stores like Gap. Because, like, can I get a basic white shirt that has a high collar? I don't know why that's so hard. So, anyway, I digress. As we move into this new season of life, we're going to try to be a little bit more consistent. And
I got all the time in the world now.
I'm hoping to have some time in the world. And we want to do an advice segment. So we want to do a whole episode around, like, people's stories and, like, what questions you guys have about, like, specific situations.
Anything.
Yeah.
Not even conflict.
Right. No. Like,
the whole could be world. Anything.
Yep.
Things we're unqualified to even talk about.
Yes, but.
We'll find someone who can.
Or we're just going to talk about it and pretend we are qualified. So, either way. So, stay tuned on our Instagram. We'll put, like, a place in there to write in. And, yeah. Stay tuned in the future. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know what you thought of today's episode by tagging us on social media. This is Trendish. We'll see you soon.